Hebrews 12 comes, I notice, comes right out of the faith chapter, where all those who, the great faith of those who went before us, is listed, documented. Starting in verse 1, Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we all have had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
So I was thinking about this chapter and the Olympics and stuff, sorry if that kind of meshed well together. And I hope you guys found an opportunity to see some of the Olympics so far, maybe you see the opening ceremonies Friday. They're really long, but I always enjoyed seeing the parade of the athletes coming in country by country, and that took hours for that to do, all the folks participating in that. And I really enjoy watching the Olympics because it's some of the few times that you see track and field on TV, especially shot like this, because I enjoyed that for like a decade of my life. I spent like middle school, high school, and college years throwing the shot from the distance. And rarely is it on TV, but you know, the two times maybe a decade when the Olympics are over. If you've ever watched the Olympics on TV, you've probably been amazed by the feats that the human body can is capable of doing. It's always amazing how most of these athletes have been practicing like their whole childhood, teenage years, young adult, some of them even in their 30s or more. For an event that happens and might even last for some, maybe a few seconds. The amount of training and sacrifice is enormous. All this for a single goal, a gold medal. And with that, worldwide recognition that you're the best in humanity at that certain thing. There are passages today that was read for us by Rita. It's in the book of Hebrews. The author of the book of Hebrews is unknown. Some scholars point to the Apostle Paul. Other scholars point to a bunch of other people. But regardless of who authored this book, our passage in Hebrews 12 is consistent with many of the other New Testament writings of the Apostle Paul. Paul often described the Christian life as being both a race to be run or a fight to be fought. I think many of these examples will be in your diving deeper this week. You can explore those more. So a race to be run or a fight to be fought are two pictures that are drawn, I think, from the ancient Olympic Games. Historically, the Olympic Games begun in Olympia, Greece, in 776 BC. The Greek calendar was based on the Olympiad, the 4 years between these games. According to Hippias of Elis, who compiled a list of the Olympic victors beginning back in 400 BC, at first the Olympic event was a race of about 200 yards long, called the Stadium. And that was going to be raced until about 724, when a second running race was added. And a few years later, 24 other events began. And by 708 BC, pentathlon was added, and wrestling was added to the Olympics. Pentathlon was, five events, match consisting of running, wrestling, leaping, and throwing the distance and the javelin. In time, boxing and a chariot race and other events were included. The victors of these games were crowned with wreaths of an olive tree that grew behind the temple of Zeus. Zeus at that time was the main god of the Greeks. According to tradition as well, the tree was planted by Hercules, who was a lesser Greek god. He's said to be the founder of the Olympic Games. The winners would march around the grove to the accompaniment of a flute, while admirers would chant songs written by a prominent poet of that time. I think the writer of Hebrews likely had these games in mind as this was being written. The same sentence as we watch the Olympic Games every 4 years, or some of the Olympic Games every 4 years, kind of gives us the same, the same feeling as we kind of read through this. Living the Christian life and discipleship is like a long-distance run. It can be difficult. It takes sustained effort. It can cause us to, pain and suffering and such. And knowing Jesus for a Christian is only the beginning of our faith race, our faith journey. It's the beginning of just a lifelong race of faith and discipleship. There are many spiritual miles we must put in before our time is over. This is something that Pastor Chris was talking about last week. So I ask, how are you? How are you running your faith race this morning? Like many long-distance races, there are struggles, there are problems, there are pain, there's injuries. And sometimes there's that desire to, give up, throw the towel. If you're feeling like that this morning, you're probably not alone. So what do we do? What do we do when we feel like that? Well, hopefully Hebrews 12, specifically verses 1 through 3 this morning, can give us some direction, give us some insight on what to do about this. So let's pray here before we get into this. Holy Father God, we just thank you for this time that allows us to come together as a faith community, as a family. We pray today that we'd be challenged by your word and Hebrews, but we'd also be encouraged. For those who need encouragement, let this be encouraging. For those who need challenged, let this morning be a challenge. We pray, Lord, that we just be receptive to how your Spirit just moves in as each individual. And we pray that you accept that to be obedient. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So looking at the first chapter here, the first 12 chapter, the first verse here in Hebrews, the author wants us to, I think, look back. First one starts off this way. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. This begins with therefore, which in a sense means in the view of what I just said. So this is obviously pointing us back to chapter 11. And just a reminder to everybody, as you read our Bibles, the chapter and the verse numbering system wasn't there originally, wasn't put there until a long time later. I think mainly so we could reference verses and chapters, it's easier to find them. So here, it's through there. But this wasn't originally there. And what we're doing today, when we're done with the sermon series on Hebrews, so we're jumping into this book in the 12th chapter of 13. So we need to realize that what this is doing is taking us just back a chapter. And really, we're talking a little bit about what chapter 11 is about. Chapter 11 is this ongoing list of kind of fake heroes. Those who are in heaven now watching down on us as we run our race. Heroes who have already finished the race. Christian thinker F.F. Bruce says on this topic, it's not so much that they look at us, but we look to them for encouragement. So these great saints that are all listed in chapter 11 are not literally watching us, but they bear witness to us that God can see us through difficulty. God will witness them in chapter 11, and now they are witnessing to you and me now. These Hebrew Christians were encouraged by the author to look back at the likes of Abraham, to look back at the likes of Joseph and Moses and Rahab and many more, and find encouragement from their stories. Looking back at these stories of these witnesses in chapter 11 can be a great way to find encouragement, in our times of struggle now, in our faith walks. For example, if you're having problems within your family, you could read the story of Joseph. If you think your job is too big, you study the life of Moses. If you're tempted to retaliate, you can see how David handled this problem. The Bible is just full of these former contestants in this race. But there's been many who have lived afterward. I mean, there's even examples that are still walking among us now that give examples as well. There have been their stories, not just the stories of references in the Bible. Including Jesus as well. Jesus says in John 13:15 that I have given you an example to follow. So he's always a good example as well to follow. He's experienced a lot of suffering, pain on his journey as well. So chapter 11 of Hebrews means from these well-known people, Moses, Jacob, Joseph, to these unknown people who have demonstrated incredible faith and have great stories as well. Let me read you a little passage out of Hebrews 11. We're going to start in the second half of verse 35. Read through 38, it says, there were others who were tortured, refusing to be released that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chained and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning, they were sold in two, they were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the deserts and in the mountains, living in caves, and in holes in the ground. So they have some pretty interesting stories there as well. The English word that we have, we have the English word called a martyr. And that word is directly translated from this word here, witnesses. And a martyr is someone who undergoes great suffering or even death for the faith. I was reading a book last month called Bearing Witness, Stories of Martyrdom and Cost of Discipleship. It's kind of like there's 2,000 years ago, people being martyred to present day ones. I was reading every one a day. And that kind of really brings some perspective to your faith journey and challenge, you know, challenge you to read too, to see what some folks went through as they lived out the Christian faith. The martyrs and the witnesses that are in Hebrews chapter 11 who experienced pain and death testify to us today that that was worth it. That was worth going through in the end. And so it's like the writer of Hebrews here is displaying these faith heroes in chapter 11 like they were in the Olympics and they're standing on the podium now with their medal or their vines around your head. Cheering us on, saying, you can do this. You can get through what you're going through right now. And you can look at our stories of what we went through to get to this point, to get our medal at the end. So here's something to think about. Let me share if I should throw this in here or not, but it seems like the easiest spot to throw this in. So get, once you write something down, get a pen, pencil, write down your bulletin. Give you a challenging question to think about maybe this afternoon, next week, while you're reading the devotions or something. Put them on your refrigerator. Somewhere in your car where you can see it. I don't want you to waste a whole lot of time thinking about this right now because I want to keep your brains because we've got more to talk about. The question is, are you living a Christian life that is inspiring and encouraging to others? Are you living a Christian life that is inspiring and encouraging to others? And as you reflect upon that, if you don't feel like you are, you should probably ask yourself this question. If not, how can I change that? So again, tuck that away. This is, I think, something important for us all to reflect upon, but not over these probably next 15 minutes. So again, the author of Hebrews encourages first to look back. And next, he encourages us to look at ourselves. If you look at the second half of verse 1, it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And again, I think this sense that the author here of Hebrews is thinking about these ancient Olympic games when he was writing this, or she. Because when he says you throw off everything that hinders, you know, in the ancient Olympic games, the athletes, they were all male, but they competed in whatever they were doing, naked. They didn't have uniforms and stuff like that. So they were fighting, they were wrestling, they were throwing their javelin and stuff without anything going to hinder them. And today, you know, athletes will tie weights behind them, will sweat, they'll wear weighted vests as they train, they'll pull tires behind them on ropes, all of those to kind of build up some endurance as they, you know, prepare for the race or whatever their athletic event they're in. But all these years that I was involved in track and field, coaching in as an athlete, never did I see an athlete line up the starting line, you know, pulling one of these sleds down, or pulling a tire, or wearing a weighted vest. That would be something that would obviously slow them down. It would make them not competitive in the race, and you know, it would surely make them not be the winner. Athletes don't want that extra baggage when they're competing. In the same way, we don't want that extra baggage as we're running the race and living out of faith day to day. In verse 1 again, your baggage is kind of described for us here in two ways. Everything that hinders. Second, the sin that easily entangles. So let's address the first one here, everything it hinders first. The idea here is to encourage those who wish to race with endurance to get rid of the things that would hinder that, prevent that from them seriously competing, having an attitude of serious competition. There are often things in our lives which may not be sinful, but at the same time may not be helpful to us. Maybe it's a hobby, or some leisure pursuit, or a relationship that we're in. This list could be numerous things. You can fill in the blank. It may be good and perfectly legitimate things to do, and maybe good and perfectly good things for other people to do. But you are in the circumstances you're in right now, the situation you're in right now, they just hinder what you're trying to do. They hold back your ability to do it and do it efficiently. They interfere and slow you down in the things that God has called you to do, or individuals. Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying you get rid of all the fun stuff you do and get more involved in church things. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that Christ followers must lay aside everything that hinders if we want our faith race to be run triumphantly. Then we have to be extra sensitive to what we do. Some things in life must be rejected if we are to run effectively. So we need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, if they're not obvious to us, if things that are causing hindrances in what God is calling us to do. So the first form of baggage is everything that hinders. Let's address here the second form of baggage, the sin that easily entangles. While the writer here of Hebrews doesn't come out and tell us what sin or sins he's talking about here, we know just from prior experiences that sin can entangle our faith. If we were to look at Hebrews chapters 10, 11, and 12, it suggests that this sin is the sin of unbelief. And we know that context is king. So what is unbelief? Well, the unbelief they're talking about here in this passage is, this is unbelief for Christians, not people who don't believe in Jesus. This is people who believe in Jesus. That they know the truth, but they don't apply that truth to the present circumstances. That's the unbelief that the author of Hebrews is talking about here. To know the truth, but refuse to apply it to your situation. There's a story for you when I got to college in the mid-90s about something happened at the Division II. I don't even know it was also the Division II school. They had the Division II National Cross Country Race in California there in the early 90s. And this was kind of, I guess, a famous story then. I can still find it on the internet now, so it must still be out there. Let me tell you about this. It was a bizarre twist of events that took place. Mike Alcova and 128 of the best runners in the country were battling for glory over a 10,000 meter course. About 3 miles into the race, Alcova was somewhere in the middle of the pack when he realized that the runners had made a wrong turn. So he yelled out, "You're going the wrong way!" But he didn't listen. Maybe four of the runners followed him when he turned the right direction, and suddenly he found himself in the lead. However, that lasted for about a mile. Since Mike and the other runners who followed him soon reunited with the larger pack, who, having gone the wrong way, actually shaved about a half mile off the race. They were now in the lead again. The final blow came when, because so many of the runners had gone the wrong way, the officials changed the official course route to accommodate the error. So when Mike Delcobo finally crossed the finish line, he was 123rd overall. At the end of the race, some of Delcobo's competitors thought it was funny that he went the right way. Yeah, that stinks for Mike and his four other guys. And Mike was even yelling the truth to these other runners, but they decided to just follow the rest of that path. In the same sense for us, then instead of a belief, affects a Christian like a leg cramp. Like one of those leg cramps that wake you up in the middle of the night. Everybody give them a picture of the pain, hamstring, the calf. It's difficult with runners who are running around the track or whatever. That makes you get off the track, it stops you. Or if anything, you're just limping, it really slows you down, causing your brakes dry and hobble off the track. How well are you running? So again, first the author encourages us to look back. Then he encourages us to look at ourselves. Then lastly, he encourages us now to look ahead. Look at verses 2 and 3 here again. It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So here, verse 2 declares that Jesus is both the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. This echoes Hebrews' earlier chapters that focused their attention almost entirely on Jesus. Jesus is a pioneer because with his suffering, he opened up a new way of faithfulness for us. Just as the pioneers of our country went and settled the Wild West, so did Jesus forged a new way to God for us. But as a pioneer, Jesus didn't break new ground. Rather, he himself was broken on a cross, opening up this new way for us. Jesus' endurance on the cross was a once and for all trial, the perfect act of love. Our endurance is tested along a marathon road of just living our life out. Jesus suffered humiliation, the torturous death, like that of a criminal, but in total victory overcame that to take his seat at the right hand of God. So keeping our eyes on Jesus' victory is the only way we'll be able to compete in our race. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, the Apostle Paul writes, for I have decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. So wise words there from the Apostle Paul. So let's fix our eyes on Jesus. He is where our focus should be. Because he is the author, the starting point, and he is the finisher, the goal line. Almost. But unlike the Olympic Games, however, running the race in a spiritual sense, in the spiritual terms, is not to try to be first, but to be faithful and finish. Much like this illustration. On July morning, 1981, Bill Rodhorst was at Omaha, Nebraska. Rodhorst had committed himself to taking part in the Pepsi Challenge, a 10,000 meter run. To be honest, Rodhorst didn't look like he belonged with the other 1,200 runners. That's because he was running with what some might consider a handicap. 10 years earlier, surgery on his brain aneurysm had paralyzed his left eye. Since the surgery, his commitment to recovery had brought about some physical improvement. Still, no one thought he would ever win the race or be competitive. Rodhorst lined up with the other runners. It was the last time that he would be with them. When the starting gun went off, the other runners made a two-step brief detour around him. Rodhorst Apostle began to run, but not with steady, confident stride as the others. His run consisted of him throwing his stiff leg forward and then tending back onto his good right foot. The pack of runners soon disappeared down the open road. The pack, in his commitment and effort, soon covered Rod Horst's sweat. Penny began to shoot from his ankle up his leg. Even so, he kept on going. It took 2 hours and 29 minutes for him to cover the 6 miles. As Broadhurst approached the finish line, he was surprised to see a small crowd seem to be waiting for him. From that crowd stepped out a man. Broadhurst recognized his fellow from the newspaper photographs, which had been publicized in the run. The fellow who greeted him was the world famous marathoner at that time, Bill Rogers, the winner of that day's race. As he came forward, Mr. Rogers took the medal off that he had won that day and put it around Broadhurst's neck. As he did, he said to him, "Here, you've worked harder for this than I have." So Broadhurst had awesome been a winner that day. And I guess this story here is pretty good account of living the Christian life. There are some of us who seem to have numerous blessings and a relatively easy life. And there are others whose days seem to be filled with continuous pain, never-ending struggles, suffering. We need to keep our eyes on the goal and to run the race which is before us. Then as inspiration for our struggle, we are reminded of the commitment of the Christ and Jesus' desire to save us. He endured hatred, beating, murder attempts, and the cross. He was called names, he was laughed at, scorned at, lied about. In spite of all that, Jesus kept his eye on the goal that would mean his death and also mean bringing salvation to us. Now, I don't know how you race, how you run. I don't know what's going on in your life. But if you're like most of us here, you have good times, and you have some bad moments. Quite likely, there have been times in your life, in this journey, this faith journey, you felt like dropping out, throwing the towel, quitting. At such times, I pray you will look to Jesus. And most certainly look to his life as an example. But also have that finish line in mind. Whether your life be long or short, hard or easy, you can be sure that he will be waiting there with words of welcome and congratulations. I hope you can picture that in your mind. Let's pray here to you in our time together. Heavenly Father God, can we just feel that this world is just dedicated to dragging us down and making us struggle. Sometimes to the points where, you know, we want to give up. Really, it's just that we have these really discouraging times. So I pray that you help us to look to Jesus and make it possible, who made it possible for us to cross that finish line. Remind people to look back at the heroes of our faith who persevered under different struggles. Help us to find encouragement in their stories. And also help us see your Holy Spirit to speak out and finish the weight, that extra weight that we're carrying with us, faith and hindrance. And help us get rid of that baggage so we can run this race of our faith life a lot easier. I pray that you give us strength today to run the race you've set before us. And no matter what we're doing or what's going on in our lives, help us to remember it's worth it in the end. Let's pray the things of Jesus.